Welcome to the Imperfect Podcast. Nate discusses various topics through the eyes of a young Christian. The goal is to invite others to learn about Christianity through casual conversations with wonderful guests, especially people who want to grow in their faith.
Maybe I want to be the passenger princess. You know what I'm saying? Drive me around.
Before this episode begins, remember that none of us are perfect and that we are here to learn and help each other grow. Feel free to donate to Nate through Cash App at Imperfect Podcast. Make sure to follow the Imperfect Podcast on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. We hope you take something great away from this episode. Enjoy!
Hi, guys.
Hi.
If you're watching, you just heard a voice narrate the intro.
Oh.
That was her. That was her.
Hi, I'm Cindy. Nice to meet you.
Go ahead, introduce yourself. Tell the people a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Hi, everyone. My name is Cindy. I am a junior here at Virginia Tech. I met Nate my freshman year because we lived on the same floor in the same dorm. I have grown up Christian. My parents met at my home church, and today we're going to be talking about being Christian in college.
Yeah. She did for me. She introduced a topic.
I'm sorry.
It's fine. I didn't know you were a Christian for real until, like, recently. Like,
oh, really?
last semester or something like that.
To be fair, To be fair, but we weren't close. Like, we weren't really friends until, I think, last semester, too.
Yeah, but to be fair, I was open about it, and, I mean, I don't know if you're...
I just didn't know you were a Christian.
Yeah. I mean, until I started this podcast, social media, stuff like that, mm-hmm. I wasn't open about my faith, stuff like that. I was just trying to, like, hide a little bit, but here I am.
What made you want to hide it?
Judgment.
Oh.
I was kind of afraid of people judging me. I didn't know, like, how people would react, and I just didn't want to have a reaction I didn't want.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, like, for me, I was pretty open about it, but I didn't talk about it with my non-Christian friends. So, like, everyone in WAG, like, no one was really Christian, so I don't know. WAG was our dorm, sorry.
West AJ.
But no one was religious on our dorm, really, so I didn't really, like, have people to talk about it with, so I never really talked about it, but I was pretty open about it.
See, yeah, that's the thing about college, though, like, let me put my notes real quick. Like, in college, it's not, well, the world in general, especially people our age, religion isn't popular. Part of the reason why I want to do this podcast, but, yeah, like, people don't say, hey, did you go to church yesterday? They say, hey, did you go to the club yesterday? Mm-hmm. Like, we don't normalize religion. I'm not even just talking about Christianity. I'm talking about, like, anything, whether it be Hindu, Islam, anything.
Yeah.
People don't normalize some sort of religion. Mm. And, like, that's kind of why I'm glad we're talking about this topic, because college, in my opinion, besides, like, Sin City, Las Vegas, is this one of the center points of sin. Like, it's just, like I said, it's just so normal for, on the weekends, for people to just go and lose their minds in clubs and bars and parties. No offense to them, but it's just such a normal... It's the college culture just to do things that we know we're not supposed to do. And I know I found it crazy when I got to college that everybody was acting like this, because I remember, like, growing up, my parents always saying, don't do drugs, don't drink alcohol, don't have sex before marriage, stuff like that. And then it's just like, boom, everybody does that.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know if that's just, like, a way people were raised. It's definitely a thing normalized in college, but it's just surrounded by, we're just surrounded by it.
Yeah. I think, like, a lot of it, it's super normalized, but one thing, like, I was pretty surprised about is, I'm losing my train of thought, but I think it happens so often because a lot of times people go out because either they're exposed to it in high school, so they've been going out in high school, or they have never been exposed to it. And so, like, college, you're given, like, a crazy amount of freedom. So I think a lot of times people don't really know what to do with that freedom, which causes them to, like, take certain paths.
Yeah, and I also think peer pressure is another thing. Like, even with people that know they aren't, they don't want to do certain things, there's always somebody peer pressuring you into doing it or make you feel bad for, like, having some sort of morals. Mm. Like, if you say, I don't want to drink, I want to smoke, I want to have sex or something, people are like, oh, you're lame. Like, yeah, have fun.
That's true.
Stop being, like, just stop being weird. Mm-hmm. And from recent experiences, I've noticed that when you make the right decisions, especially as a Christian, when you have something going right and you're making the right decisions, people are going to attack you for that. And mm-hmm. I think part of it is because some of them may be insecure about the fact that they can't make the right decisions for themselves. Because mm-hmm. I know with me, my friends have told me, Nate, I admire how you do the right things. You take relationships the right way. You make decisions with your life the right way. And you follow God. But then at the same time, they'll turn around and attack me for that. Mm. So in my mind, I'm just like, maybe they're just insecure about the fact that they can't make the same decisions as myself. Yeah. But at the same time, that could be like a cry for hope. Could be like, I want to be like Nate. Or I want to be like Cindy. I want to be able to make the right decisions and be mature enough to say no to things, be mature enough to just be in a good place rather than doing what the world is doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, like, something I've learned in college is, like, at the end of the day, like, it is their own lives and they can choose to do whatever they want with it. And I think something I've learned is, like, judgment. It's, like, I'm at the point where it's, like, I may not choose to do whatever, like, my friends or, like, my secular friends are doing. Like, I may not choose to, like, live my life the way that they do, but I'm at, like, I view it as, like, I don't explain it, but it's, like, I don't judge other for their own actions because at the end of the day, it is their own actions and is their life to live. And at the end of the day, no, like, the only judgment that counts is God's judgment. So I try to I approach things with an open mindset, and I think college has given me the opportunity because I've been faced with a lot that I wasn't exposed to in the past.
For me too, like, I also don't judge people, like, with their decisions. Like you said, it's their own lives, it's our lives. When a person's judgment that matters is God. And something that I've learned about a lot is other people's religions. Like, growing up, I was only familiar with Christianity. I went to three private Christian schools, obviously grew up in church, two Christian parents, a Christian family. And I get here, it's not that I didn't know of these religions, but it's more about the in-depth information or how they carry themselves in their religion. And I'm not judging them. But it's just very interesting for me to learn about people's religions. And hopefully I get some episodes about other people's religions. But I don't want to take pride for this because I don't want to be prideful. But I'm just happy that I'm not a judgmental person. Mm-hmm. Unlike other people that will follow stereotypes about other people's religions. Mm-hmm. And not even just religions. Like, there's just a lot of things socially you learn about in college. Mm-hmm. And it's scary and it's kind of bad because we're rushed into all this. You're rushed into meeting these new people. You're rushed into living with a roommate.
Oh my, like, gosh.
Yeah. I remember who I taught. It was one of my Bible studies or something. I don't remember. But trust in college is so rushed and so...
Oh my gosh. It's so bad. That's so true. I think... Oh, sorry. Go ahead. But I think the biggest thing I've learned about college is that college is constantly about change. Like, you're constantly changing in college. Your life is never the same. Especially freshman year, I had a really hard time adjusting. Like, it took me a really long time to find a home church here that I was able to be spiritually fed correctly. And I think, like, when you're thrown into college freshman year, you're thrown in with, like, a roommate and then, like, brand new people that you don't even know, and it's like you're forced to create these friendships, but it's at the same time, it's like, are these friendships fruitful? Are they good for you? Are they intentional? And I also struggled a lot with, like, trust, just because, like, it's such a new territory and you don't know how to navigate it.
Yeah, like, roommate specifically, thankfully I have my roommate and me and him are very, very close, and I still live with him and our other friends. But you and I both know how friendships can end quickly. Like you said, it's about change. Like, friendships can change quickly. Roommates can change quickly, literally. Like, so much can change. And the fact that we're rushed into just trusting a random person not to, like, kill us in our sleep on the first night of college, that's just so absurd to me.
And that's so true.
Like you said, religiously and spiritually, these people, some of the people don't help us. And I know something I've, over time, it's been clear to me who and who isn't supposed to be in my life. Mm-hmm. And it's more about how do I get them out of my life, the people that don't need to be in my life.
Yeah.
So that's something I pray about. And then eventually God provides a way for me to exit that person's life and they exit my life.
Yes.
And it may be messy, it may be smooth. Mm-hmm. But in the end, like, I just look back at it and I just have to, like, I gotta thank God that, like, I just get out of those situations, those friendships, those relationships.
Mm-hmm. Wait, I feel you so much, because, like, during my time here, I have faced a lot of trials in friendships, in terms of friendships that I felt like weren't in my best interest, or in, like, they didn't have my best interest at heart. And I remember I prayed a lot for God to just kind of, like, soften their hearts and soften my own hearts and just kind of, like, reconcile. But I think it made me realize, like, looking back now, God was just redirectioning my life. Like, he was just closing this door and revealing these people's, like, intentions, and just, like, making me realize that, like, making me realize who they were. And he was just opening up new doors in my life, because I think God does not put you in a position where he does not think you can handle it. And so I'm very grateful that this redirection gave me, like, a new sense of community, and it redirected me to find Christian friends. But even though, like, I say all this, but it was still, like, it's not easy. Like, sorry, I'm, like, banging on the table. It's still very hard. Like, I think there are times where I do miss these friendships, and I do, like, wish it ended better. But at the end of the day, I know that whatever happened was in God's plan, and that everything is working out the way he wants it to. So I think it's really important to trust God, but I understand, like, how it can be hard, especially because, like, these can be friends that you've been friends with since, like, freshman year.
Yeah, and the more and more you trust God and just stay close, read the Bible, pray, and just learn about God, the easier it's going to be for you to make decisions and for you to follow God. Like, I think as I got closer to God in college, I've been led towards the people I know that are supposed to be in my life. Like, mm-hmm. The friends I have now here are supposed to be here because I realize that they help me in some way, and I help them too at times. Well, I don't want to say at times, I help them. But past relationships, no offense to these people that I'm mentioning though, but like past people that were in my life didn't serve a good purpose for me, and that's just a sign that I'm closer to God, I'm hearing his voice better. But one thing I do struggle with is if they're supposed to, like, you're supposed to do your best to win people to Christianity, or at least you shouldn't just give up on relationships, because, you know, there could be some purpose behind you being in some sort of relationship or friendship with certain people. So at times I'm questioning, am I supposed to just get rid of this person, or do I take my time and be patient with this person and try and reconcile, or try and just see it through, or even try to win them to Christ? Those are decisions I struggle with. But I see at those times, like, God will, like, he'll show you. And by that, I mean he'll either take them out or he'll keep them. It's just about trusting God and just knowing. The more you're in the Bible, the more you'll understand what you're supposed to do.
That's true.
So something big I really want to talk about is relationships in college. That's a big mess. between...
Like, friendships or, like, relationships?
Relationships. Boyfriend, girlfriend.
Okay.
Like... So, I'll say this first. We talked about rushing things. Relationships in college are rushed crazily.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
And they are viewed the wrong way.
Oh my goodness.
Whether it be, it's just so much to unpack here.
Wait, where do you want to start off with? Oh my gosh.
Don't fall out the chairs.
Oh, I didn't know it would pack that far.
Well, let's talk about this. Our generation invented the talking stage.
Okay, we did. So, I hate the talking stage.
You know, I really wonder how they did it back then. Like, I talked to my parents a lot about it, especially my mom. And she goes, like, your generation is just so weird with these talking stages, all these stages.
And, so like, the term situationship. Oh, my gosh. It's so confusing.
The labels, the terms, it confuses me. I'm just like, okay, this is how I see relationships. Mm-hmm. Like, we see each other, getting to know each other, things like that. Mm-hmm. I think dating is, like, our talking stage. Like, maybe going on dates, like, you get closer. Mm-hmm. Then after, like, any amount of time that it takes, you ain't gotta say a certain timeline, but after dating, like, then you're official. But nowadays, it's talking. And then the talking stage, so many things can happen.
Yeah.
It could really imitate an actual relationship just without the title. Mm-hmm. Ideally, when I see the talking stage, I see it as, okay, let's get to know this person. Let's decide, is this a long-term person? Let's take our time. Mm-hmm. Let's not set no timeline.
Yeah.
So that's just how I see it. People will see it and they'll go like, oh, we can have sex at this time. We can do all sorts of physical things at this time. Like, I just met you. We can go in and have sex and sleep in the same bed in the same night. Mm-hmm. So yeah, what are your thoughts?
What are my thoughts on, like, dating or, like, situationships or, like, dating as a Christian?
Anything. Let's talk about, okay, let's say this. Let's just talk about relationships in college first. Okay. Then we'll get to dating as a Christian.
Okay. So, my viewpoint with relationships in college is, just like Nate said, I think it is so fast-paced and is so fast. Like, I think 1 month of dating in college or talking college is so different than high school, because in college you are able to have your own schedule. You're able to see them whenever you want to, wherever you want to, however you want to. Especially, like, I grew up in a very strict household, so, like, I wasn't even allowed to have guy friends growing up. So, like, when I came to college and, like, I didn't have a curfew and, like, all these things, like, I was open to many opportunities. And while my parents, like, track my location, like, they can see where I'm at every time, I know that most kids in college don't have these restrictions, and, like, my parents, like, what's the word? They got less strict as, like, years went by, just because they started to trust me more. But I think, like, something that is so crazy to, I think, to think about is, like, you're putting, like, a bunch of 18-year-olds in, like, dorms, like, together. And, like, we lived on a co-ed floor, and my parents, they lost their minds. Because when we moved in, I lived across from boys. My parents were so angry because they didn't think, like, that could even be possible, and they tried to, like, switch me out. And, like, to be fair, I didn't know that co-ed dorms, like, I thought they were separated by floor.
That's what I thought.
But we were all, like, on the same floor. And, like, it wasn't, like, the biggest deal. Like, as I, like, navigated, it wasn't that bad. But I think, like, initially I was like, oh my goodness, this is crazy, because I've never, like, been exposed to it. So I think dating in college is so much more different, and I have fallen victim to getting attached very quickly, because I think I feel things very deeply and I romanticize a lot of things. So if I start talking to someone, I start to see a future with them, and then I start to, like, think about, like, marriage. I start to think about having a family with them. But I know that most people in college do not think this way, because, like, I think a lot of people view college as, like, having fun, or, like, this time to, like, just, like, have fun. But, like, it's hard because you don't really communicate what you want. Like, I feel like no one really talks about, like when you go on dates, you don't really sit down and talk about your intentions. And I feel like a lot of times miscommunications can happen, and that has happened to me a lot. Sorry. I thought Jack was going to come in.
Okay, but hear me out. The fact that you think about, like, marriage and, like, the future right away.
Oh.
That's kind of a good sign, unless if you're saying, like, as
no,
soon
dude, it's
as you
bad.
Meet, okay, if you're saying, like, you meet somebody, you're like, oh my gosh, that's my future husband, like, as soon as you meet him, okay, maybe there's some concern, but let's just move that into, like, Okay, first I'll say this. Communicating your intentions is, you're right, that is very, very missed. Like, it's okay to communicate, hey, I just want to hook up tonight. Hey, that's okay. Just, if she says no, let it go. If he says no, let it go. Mm-hmm. If you're saying, I want a long-term relationship, work out the long-term relationship. Mm-hmm. If y'all don't got the same intentions, then move along.
Yeah.
Attachment, though, that is, it's a dangerous drug. And also being able to, like, say no and accept rejection. Guys specifically, you gotta accept rejection. There's three things here. You gotta accept rejection. You can't get attached too quickly. That's a guy and girl thing. But guys, I've said this before multiple times, many different social media platforms or accounts, whatever. You gotta be able to have platonic friendships without any thought of a possibility of a relationship or anything physical. Like me and her, we are 110% platonic. I have a lot of female friends here. We are all platonic. There's a lot of guys in college or in the world.
You said platonic?
Yes.
I said platonic? Wait, sorry.
Is it platonic?
I said, I could be wrong.
Okay, but y'all get the gist. Y'all know. Okay, but like, there's a lot of guys that can't handle just a friendship with a girl, or they can have a friendship with a girl, but deep down in the back of their mind, they have the hopes of dating this girl or doing something physical with this girl. If you can have female friends without those thoughts, you're doing something good. Not to shame anybody that does.
Wait, you're not doing something good. That's the bare minimum. I feel like it's literally the bare minimum, but it's like, it's so rare, I feel like, especially in college.
It is.
Like, I personally don't have any guy friends that are non-Christians. Like, I don't consider anyone, like, I can't think of one guy friend that I have that isn't a brother in Christ. Like, all my guy friends are either my guy friends from my home church or from my ministry here or Nate. Like, that literally, I'm trying to think really hard, and I can't think of one that I genuinely, like, feel like, not, like, safe around, but, like, I know that 100% they do not want anything from me besides a friendship. And I think I struggled a lot with that because there are many times where I thought that, like, guys did want to be my friend or that they saw me platonically, and then it shifted into something else. And I think a lot of it is because of my personality. I think I'm a pretty warm person, and I think people mistake my friendliness for flirting sometimes. And I think that's really difficult because I view things through a friendship lens, but I know that in college it's kind of difficult because, like, this is the time where people are, like, meeting people and, like, getting to know people. So I understand, like, the misconception.
So by bare minimum, what did you mean by that? Or did you explain it and I just miss it?
Okay, wait, sorry. I didn't mean to yell at you. But it was like when you said, like, oh, if you're a guy and you can have platonic friendships, you're doing something good. Like, I feel like you're praising them.
Okay, actually, I get what you're saying. That is the bare minimum.
I will admit that's the bare minimum. But it's praised now because no one really does it.
Yeah.
Like, I think the only place where I feel like I can enter friendships platonically is in the ministry that I'm a part of, just because I know that everyone, like, I view everyone there, like, especially because I'm pretty new in it, so I'm not, like, super, I don't know everybody, so the boys I do meet there, I know that they just view me as a sister in Christ, and that they, when they look at me, it's, like, I know it's just, like, completely platonic. When it's different, when I feel like, when I'm, like, walking, and then someone approaches me, like, when I'm walking to class or something, I feel like it's different because I mean, I guess the atmosphere is different, but I don't really know what's going with this. Sorry, I was just talking.
I was gonna say something. Okay, this is what it was. Like with guys, like you gotta realize. I hope this doesn't sound condescending at all, but you're gonna see a good-looking woman everywhere you go. Like, you can't just look at every good-looking woman and get attached. My mindset is, I'll see a good looking woman, I'll say, oh, she's pretty, and, like, keep it moving, because we all have an exterior, but it's all about what's inside you. Like, that matters when it comes to being attracted to somebody. Like, yeah, you're gonna be physically attracted to people. Guys and girls are physically attracted to each other, But as far as potential girlfriend, that exterior doesn't match the interior a lot of the time. Like, you can meet the most handsome man, most beautiful woman. They could be a serial killer for all I know.
Like Ted Bundy.
Exactly. Like, there's all these people that, like, yeah, they can put on a show, they can put on this play for you, say all these nice words, but they could be pretending. That's a scary thing about relationships. You gotta feel your way through. You gotta build trust. Like, this all ties together, like, forcing trust, forcing relationships. You gotta take your time. And again, we can go and talk about, like, dating as Christians. That's really one of the biggest things, taking your time, not rushing it. If you're a Christian, if you're truly a Christian, you understand that God is never late. God is always on time. You may want girlfriend, wife, boyfriend, husband now, but maybe you're not ready. Maybe you still got things to learn. Maybe you might not have a husband or wife in your lifetime. That may be a sad truth to accept, but it's definitely possible. Like, we were put on this earth to win people to Christ, not to be in relationships with everybody we see. And don't get me wrong, the Bible does say that we are supposed to be fruitful, but there's people that live a life without being in a relationship, and that's totally fine. Everybody has their purpose. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I think, says everything happens for a reason. Everything we do happens for God's grand plan. It may not be, we may go against his plan, but I mean, we're just here to serve our purpose, and relationships ain't the biggest thing in life to worry about. Like, how are you going to be in a relationship if you're not financially stable or emotionally stable? Mm-hmm. Those are really important things you got to consider. Mm-hmm. And I know when I look for a potential girlfriend, I obviously want a woman of Christ.
But a WOG.
WOG. That's our thing. WOG. Woman of God. MOG. Man of God. but I say being a Christian is the bare minimum. Because you can be a Christian and still not be fit for me.
That's very true.
Or I may not be fit for you. Mm-hmm. It's all about compatibility and interest. And there's a lot of other things besides being a Christian. Because Christians aren't perfect.
That's true.
We got flaws. We sin. We make mistakes. Mm-hmm. We cheat. I don't cheat. Christians cheat. Christians do drugs. Christians do things we're not supposed to do. Mm-hmm. So being Christian is the bare minimum for me when it comes to looking for a potential girlfriend. What do you have to say?
I agree with you. I think for me, like my like bare minimum is also a man of God, a Christian. But I know that I want to enter a relationship knowing that the person I am with is able to lead me in both the relationship and spiritually. Just because, like, in the Bible says the man is supposed to lead the woman, and I feel like it is very important to hold each other accountable in the relationship.
I got your audio. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It was just a few seconds. Go ahead. I got your audio.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry, guys. Okay. I was muted. Sorry. I was talking about how when looking for a relationship, I personally look for a man that can lead me in both the relationship and spiritually, just because, like, in the Bible said the man is supposed to lead the woman, and I feel like spiritual accountability is very important because I know that the man is supposed to lead, but I think it's hard to kind of like search that here because I think a big thing I've realized is that, just like Nate said, just because they're Christian does not mean that they are the right person for me, or just because they are like a really good Christian. Like, let's say he is very spiritually fed, he serves in the church, he's like on praise team, he like does mission trips, he does all these things, but at the end of the day, if he's not the person that God has in plan for me, it just won't work out. And I think another thing to realize is, like what Nate said, like, we are not perfect. Like, I am a sinner, I sin literally every single day. And so I think it is important for me to realize to give not just myself grace, but to give other Christians Christian grace as well, because we are all in college. We're still at the learning stage of our life, and we're still constantly growing. And I think at the end of the day, the thing I look for most is that they have a heart for God, and they have the heart to seek and to, you know, just grow with God. Is it still recording?
Yes.
Okay. Just making sure.
Yeah, like you said, the one, it's kind of hard to, I won't say it's hard. You may think the person you're dating at a certain time is the one, but it's certainly not possible. And I know, like, with my past experience, I always thought in the back of my mind, is this person the one? Because as Christians, we're supposed to date with the intention of the long-term plan, which is marriage. Not that that has to be an immediate thought, but you should communicate, or you should at least to yourself, understand that the person you're dating should be your potential future husband or wife. I even think you should communicate that to your partner. I'm dating with the intention of marriage, as in a few years, will we potentially get married? Will you be the mother of my kids? Will you be the father of my kids? Stuff like that. Because nowadays, dating for a few years is normalized. Like, dating, I don't want to date somebody for 10 years and then say, okay, on to the next. That's just a waste of both everybody's time.
Yeah.
That's, and it really doesn't make sense. Oh, another thing I'll say, please don't date outside your religion. No offense to anybody that does. That's just not a good idea.
I agree. I think you might think it is a good idea, but in the, like, long term, it will only damage you, I feel like. I have dated outside of, or not that I've dated outside my religion, but I've dated a baby believer, and I think that was really hard because it was someone who, like, well, not necessarily a baby believer, but he was non-practicing, but then he started practicing because we were dating, and I really try to emphasize that I did not want him to grow his relationship with God for me. I wanted him to do that on his own terms, but because we were in that relationship, you really did not know for sure until you exit the relationship, and then you kind of see how, see if they're continuing to grow with God. And I think, I'm not saying, like, don't date a baby believer. I just think it's very important to be mindful and to just make sure that they are strong enough in their faith to be able to be firm. They need to have a firm foundation before you're able to enter the relationship, to be able to have a Christ-centered relationship. And I feel like that's very important to have, just because, like, God should be the center of your relationship, just like he should be the center of your life.
Yeah, that's an important thing that you said, not to date, like, with the intention, like, don't build some sort of religious relationship or spiritual relationship just because you're dating somebody or you want somebody. Like, if you're doing that to impress somebody, that's definitely not the right thing to do. Now, if you're growing together or if somebody's helping you grow, that's a different story. But if you have the intent of saying, okay, I'm going to become Muslim, I'm going to become Christian so that this girl wants me more, or so that I'm doing a good act towards her and trying to, like, indulge in her life, that's definitely not the right thing to do. Because one, it's your relationship with Christ, not theirs. You can be in a relationship with Christ together in your relationship or future marriage, but that's the wrong intent, to do it for somebody else. But at those times, like, dating, you said a baby believer?
Oh, yeah. Have you never heard that before?
I think your baby believer is my lukewarm.
Oh, okay, okay. Wait.
By baby believer, do you mean somebody that's, like, new to Christianity, or, like...
So, baby believer, the way we use that at my church is, like, new to Christianity, but I think lukewarm was the term I meant to say, just because I do believe a baby believer can grow their faith and can be spiritually ready to lead you, but I think I did mean lukewarm, so I'm so sorry.
That might be two different things, but let's say lukewarm.
Okay.
Somebody that says they're Christian but doesn't live that life.
Yeah.
Don't date a lukewarm believer if you're a full-on believer. But for a baby believer, I think It's not a bad thing. It's just, for me, I think that's kind of scary because you know more than them.
I also want to clarify, I don't think it's a bad thing either. I think it's just important to, I think it's important to build a relationship with Christ before you build your own relationship with that person.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Because, yeah, you know more than that person. That's a bad thing, but it's just scary because you understand. You may understand the principles of a Christian relationship, but they may not. And they may not, I don't know, it's just, there's so many things that could happen. But the fact that you have your understanding of what you want in a relationship from a Christian perspective, and they don't, in my mind, those are two things. That's either it's good and bad, or this is God's calling of me to help this person grow closer to Christ as we grow closer together as well. But I don't think a baby believer is bad. It's definitely better than lukewarm. But that's, if you're true, a Christian, I don't advise dating a lukewarm person. No offense to lukewarm people. But if you know what you want from a Christian perspective, and they don't serve that to you, and then you shouldn't be there. Okay. I think we're close to wrapping this up. Is there anything else about Christianity in college that you want to talk about?
Do you want to talk about being spiritually fed in college? Because I feel like that's something that a lot of Christians struggle with.
Yeah, go ahead and spend on it.
Okay. Oh, wow. For me, I had a lot of trouble being spiritually fed and held accountable, especially my first 2 years here, just because I didn't have community. And I think that was really hard because I had a community back at home. And because I didn't have a community here, it was a lot harder to go to church and to literally, be spiritually fed and to be immersed in the Word. And because I didn't have community, I found myself skipping church a lot freshman and sophomore year. And I think that is really hard because it's also hard to find community in college. I feel like it took me a really long time, and I still don't, I wouldn't say, I have, a firm community, but I think I am definitely, I am surrounded by more brothers and sisters in Christ now. But I think it's something that a lot of people struggle with in college because it's, a new territory, and then, among all these factors, now you're alone in your faith. Because I feel like before, I was really involved in church. I would serve, and I would have, my parents take me to church, and, I've just been to church my whole life at home. So when I went to college and it was, a brand new church that I didn't know, it's a lot scarier. And I feel like no one really talks about how scary it is navigating, being a Christian in college.
Yeah, community in general in college is hard to find. Like we said, rushing into college, being forced, making these relationships. I will say Virginia Tech does offer they do have the Christian groups, but at the same time, that's kind of intimidating because you're joining a big group. I'm not saying they're bad or anything, but just the idea of you being a single new person and walking into a big group of new people, whether that be a Christian group or not, that's just an intimidating thing to do.
Yeah.
And, sometimes you do just got to step out your comfort zone and just go ahead and do it. But yeah, me too. Even now, I don't have a community of Christian people here, but I didn't think I don't remember. This might sound weird to say. I don't remember who the first Christian was I met. At least somebody that openly displayed it. I could think of one person, and that was my second year in the fall semester. But it is hard to find a Christian community, and people aren't so open about it. It would be hypocritical of me to say I wish people were more open about their stuff, but hold on, I just messed it up. It would be hypocritical of me to say that people should be more open about being Christian, but me, myself, I took a long time to display my faith. I don't display a lot in person with my horrible social skills. But, at least on social media,
it's, a lot
people,
easier.
Yeah, people show their faith on social media, but they also don't show the same in person. But that's besides the point. I just wish people would... I just wish we were more open about our Christianity outside of just our Christian groups and just, bringing
Yeah.
Trying to get people to join the organizations.
I did want to talk about, like, community here. I understand what you mean about being scared. I get really anxious talking to new people, but I think something I found with, like, searching for community here is that people are so open, especially, like, these organizations, just because, like, I'm very used to interacting with non-Christians during my time here. So when I started to come out to the ministry I'm a part of, I didn't realize how kind people were. But it made me realize, like, I know it's such a stupid thing to say, but it's like they were all God's people, so of course they're very kind, and they opened up their hearts to me a lot, and I found it very easy to be vulnerable with them, with people I've just met. And I think because of the community I found here, I am more outspoken about my faith now, and I think I speak about my faith a lot more than I did in the past. So I'm very blessed that God has put these people in my life, because I feel like it's a lot easier for me to spread the gospel now to my non-Christian friends.
Yeah, we leave that at that. So before we go, I do this with all my guests. Where's my phone? To get to know my guests better, for the audience and myself.
Okay.
I got 10 questions for you.
10?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can answer this as broad or as specific as you like.
Okay.
I don't care if it's a one word response. I don't care if it's a paragraph. So the first question is, what's your favorite Bible verse?
Oh. Okay. I was just thinking about this. My favorite... I don't have a specific verse, but I have a favorite, like, book and chapter. It's Psalm 23. It's like the one that you, like, memorize when you're younger, but I think it's just a very comforting chapter, or very comforting. I think Psalms itself is a very comforting book, but I think it's a very comforting chapter because it basically just talks about how everything will work out. God has a plan, and just because it's not working out now doesn't mean it won't work out in the future. And I think it's very comforting for me to read, just because college is full of trials and hardships.
True. What's your favorite on-campus food?
Oh, okay, on-campus? I love West End. I think it's because we lived across West End.
Okay, I get that.
I love West End so much. I wish I could eat it now, but I don't have a dining plan, unfortunately.
Shout out to Fighting Goblin.
Yes, and J. Peach. No. I love JP. I love their steak.
Those little two little strips of steak for like $12.
Wait, no. Like, they have like actual steak.
Oh, you're...
You know, like the ribeye stuff?
Yeah, it's like, what, $30?
Yeah, but it's big money. It's dining plan.
Anyways, you probably said this already, but what's the biggest lesson you've learned since you started college?
Oh, biggest lesson I learned. I think the biggest lesson I learned is just because you... I think... Sorry. The biggest lesson I learned is just because I view things through a Christian lens does not mean other people do. And it was hard for me to realize that... people hold grudges and people don't forgive as easily as you do. And I know that is something I also struggle with. I think it has taken me a while to get to a point where I found peace with situations where I was not given peace. But at the end of the day, we have to forgive. We have to love each other. And I think that was a really hard pill for me to swallow, because there was times where I was just praying and I was just like, God, please, like, help me soften my heart for this person. They've hurt me so much. And at the end of the day, like, I'm still very angry, and I was very tired of being angry at them.
I think that's a good thing. I've had those thoughts too. Like, I don't want to be angry at this person. Mm-hmm. So, like, please just help me not feel angry. Please help me just have a kind, loving heart. Well, I forgot to tell you, these are, like, random, so they could either be deep or very, like, surface level.
Okay.
What's your favorite color?
Oh. My favorite color is pink. Light pink. Did you know that?
I know that.
Oh, okay.
I've never seen you wear pink. Yes, I have.
Wait.
If you were given $1 million, what would you do with it?
Oh, my gosh. $1 million? Okay. Well, half of it would be, I would give it to my parents to pay off their debt. We are in... same amount of debt. What, I'm being real. And then the other half of it, I would donate to missionaries just because I hope that maybe, I hope one day that I will feel prepared enough and strong enough that God will help me prepare for me to go on a mission trip. But I know that right now I just don't really feel ready and I don't have the strength to. And then also just kind of like, what else? What else would I do with this money?
Wait, hold on. You said half is going to your parents, half is going to the
mission. Okay, maybe not half. You're like half of that half.
What? Half, so you're saying 2,500K is going to your parents, 205,000 going to missionaries.
Wait, no, 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 no. 500,000 going to my parents.
Okay, 250,000.
And my family in Vietnam. Okay. Because they're struggling. So, and then 250 going to missionaries. And then the other 250. Okay, I'm going to keep like 50,000. I'm sorry, I need to. I'm going to just because I pay for like rent, tuition, books. It will help me live. It will help my standard of living a lot. And I'll definitely use it for selfish reasons, such as like clothes. Like, I'm sorry. Hey, and then cool. I think maybe save the other because you never know. Oh, for my children. I'll save it for my children. If God decides to place me with a family. My
future. So you have 50K to yourself and 200K to your children.
Yeah. Okay. Or like savings.
Okay. For savings. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I liked it. Have you ever pulled an all-nighter in college? And so, how many?
Oh, my gosh. I was insane freshman year. Freshman year, I think I would pull all-nighters like once a week for no reason. Like, I had no reason to. Like, not academic-wise. But freshman year, I think it was, like, being in the dorm, and I got crazy FOMO. Like, people would just be sitting in the lounge, and I knew I had homework, but I would just sit in the lounge with them. Or, like, they would be like, oh, like, let's go to the drill field. And it's, like, 2 a.m. I'm like, okay, like, I'll go. And so I did a lot freshman year, and now I don't do as much just because I don't have the capacity to anymore. Like, I get so tired so easily.
What's your favorite memory in college?
My favorite memory?
I'm scared.
Okay, well, I think the first thing I thought of, I don't think I have one favorite memory just because college has been so fruitful and so I've been so blessed to be able to go to college. But I think the first thing I thought of when you said that, it's very small, but I just remember I laughed so hard. I think I like almost threw up, but it was my like freshman year, and it was like my two friends and I, like, we were just like walking through McBride, and then like something happened, and this is when we used to use Dispo a lot, and like my friend JJ took a picture of me, and I like, and it was like my face was like really distraught. Do you remember this? I don't know if you remember this, but it was just like a picture of me distraught, and then we were just laughing so hard in the lecture hall, but there were like classrooms going on, so we had to be quiet. Anyway, I think that was it.
Oh my gosh, that's what's your favorite food?
My favorite food. Okay, I don't know. I think recently it's been galbi, which is like Korean short ribs.
I think I know what that is.
It's so good.
I think I've gotten it at Cave Barbecue before.
Yeah, it's my favorite.
I love some Cave Barbecue.
Me too.
Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
Oh my gosh, my professor asked me this the other day. Mm. Hopefully, I'm alive. 10 years? 30. Oh. 30? I hope by then, if it's in God's plan, I'll have a family, or I'll be starting to have a family, and I'll be working. That's all I got. Happy?
Hey, it's all a person needs. God, family, happy.
Yeah.
And a little bit of money.
Just a bit.
What does a perfect day look like for you?
Oh my gosh. Perfect day? Okay.
Don't say sleeping in your bed. I need some sort of activities.
Oh, wait, I was going to say. Okay, wait.
Unless you're like sleeping part of the day, not the whole day.
Okay. I'll be able to sleep in. I haven't gotten the chance to sleep in at all this semester just because my schedule is kind of busy. So definitely sleeping in, waking up, eating lunch. What would I eat for lunch? I would eat Zaxby's. Wait, am I in Blacksburg for my perfect day?
Wherever you want.
Okay. I'll be eating Raisin Cane's. And
whoa,
then
hot take.
I would go to the, I love Cane's.
I do too.
Hot take. And then I would go to the beach. Would I? I'd go to the beach, spend the whole day at the beach with friends, and then go home, take a nap, shower, then take a nap, and then get ready for dinner, and then eat dinner with my friends, and then have a bonfire with my friends, and then get ice cream. That's it.
Sounds like a blast. Hey, that was the last question.
Okay.
All right, anything else you want to say before I end this?
Thanks for having me. Thank you for listening. For those who decided to join, I just wanted to apologize for me touching my hair so much. I need to wash it, so it's just.
Man, listen. I don't look at my eyes when I watch. My eyes go everywhere.
I was apologizing to the viewers, not to you.
Yeah, I'm saying like you don't gotta apologize for having like itty bitty. Okay. And stuff.
But I also want to clarify, I did not mean dating a baby believer was a bad thing. I just wanted to say that it's difficult and it's something to be mindful about. I don't think it's a bad thing at all. I'm so sorry I worded it wrong. Just to be sure. You never know.
Anyways, thanks for watching, like she said. You know, follow the Imperfect Podcast on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. This on Spotify, Apple Music, whatever you want. This is the person that did the intro, so yeah. This is also birthday twin, April 29th. Oh, yes,
we have the same birthday.
Yeah, I'm older than her.
But oh, like, you are?
I think. What time were you born?
2 p.m.
Oh, yeah, I was born at 3 a.m.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is birthday twin.
But thank you for having me. I had a lot of fun.
Thank you for coming.
Yes.
And providing your insight.
Yes.
If you're listening still, I'm going to do another episode about college and Christianity, and I will allow anybody that's a college and Christian to join.
Comment below.
Yeah, so, like, follow the Instagram page, follow TikTok, so you can know. But either way, yes. Anyways, thank you for watching. This is Cindy.
Bye.
I'm Nate.
Bye.
Bye. She blew a kiss.